Welcome to the call, everyone. We're just waiting for Wynn to come in. It's 6:01, Wednesday, December the 9th.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the call. Who's this?
Dharmananda. Who's this?
Hi, this is Colleen. How are you?
Good. Never heard you answer the phone before.
No, it's my first day on the job.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the call. Did someone else join us?
Yes, Melissa from California. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Melissa.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the call.
Hello there.
Hello, Wynn.
Who's that? Is that Colleen?
Yes, it's Colleen. Hi. Hi, welcome to the call. I see Terry's on, but I haven't heard her.
Terry, are you there?
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the
Hello.
Call. Hi.
Thank you.
Did someone else join us? Hi.
Hi, it's Bonnie in Corona.
Hi, Bonnie. How
Hello.
Are you? Good evening. Welcome to the call.
I'm Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Did somebody just check in?
I heard a ding.
Yes. Hello, welcome to the call. Can you say your name and city, please?
Only if you want to.
I think maybe it's something to do with the connection.
Anybody listening to David Wilkes?
Oh. No.
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay. Did you say you saw Terry online?
Yeah, I did. I saw her... her name? She's moderator console, and she must be muted. But it doesn't look muted. Hi, Terry, are you there?
Do you want to know something?
What?
I'm on moderator console, and it might be her. I mean, it might show up as, I can't remember, Terry Brown. Because I'm in Phoenix, and I've been calling her, and she didn't answer.
Oh.
So now I'm worried.
Huh? She's in my room. What do you mean? Yeah.
I could have sworn I just heard her when.
Terry, are you there? Unmute yourself. She forgot. All right. She doesn't forget. It's not like her not to answer her phone either. So I'm a little worried. I'll be right back.
Hi, some more people just joined us. Do you want to say your name and city, please? Hi, welcome to the call.
Hi, it's Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni.
Hi. Quiet group.
Yeah. Well, we're waiting for well, Wynn's here, and we're waiting to see where Terry is. Hello, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city, please?
Only for you.
Okay. Oh, hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. Wonderful. Terrific.
Good. Good.
What else should I say? So how many people are on this place? Sounds all quiet back there.
It's not
it's quiet. There's a lot of people, but they're all very well behaved. Good evening.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the call. Welcome to the call. Can you say your name and city, please? Or not. So we're just waiting for Wynn and Terry to get back to us. I think Wynn's trying to locate Terry. Hi, welcome to the call.
This is Steve, West Palm Beach.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Welcome.
I think Wynn said he was in Phoenix and he was trying to get a hold of Terry.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Well, it's Wednesday night, so we kind of, you know.
Yeah, we kind of need
it's
her.
Terry's show, yes. It's Terry's show.
Of course, we could do open mic tonight.
We could. Yes. We could. I know, because what is it? We've got questions, but where's Terry?
Yeah. We don't have answers.
Well, see, the only issue is that when you want the answers to actually fit the questions.
Well, there you go.
Otherwise, we could just come up with dozens of answers.
Well, dozens of questions, anyway.
But anyway.
Well, how about that we already know the answers, we just don't remember.
There you go.
Is Terry there?
Not yet, Wynn. No.
Did you get a hold of her?
Heaven knows. Let me try calling her again. I think I have to disconnect and call back, okay?
Yeah, what about Jim? Call Jim.
He's not there anymore. He's
not there anymore. Hi, someone else just joined us. Welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
Did he move out? Did Jim move out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, Wynn and Terry have been starving to death since that time.
Not eating as well, that's for sure.
Exactly.
They're eating out a lot.
Hey, it moves out, and Chris is moving in.
There you go.
Can you cook?
You need your qualifications to be written up, you know, like whether you can cook or clean.
Can you operate a microwave? Oh.
I would never microwave someone's foods for them.
If you were cooking for someone else.
That burrito.
That was the point. There you go.
I feel bad microwaving water now that I know water has consciousness.
Yeah, microwave is supposed to be not a good cooking technique.
No. Well, if you... Kills your nutrients.
It's outlawed in Russia,
you're gonna make
I think.
Tea. If you're going to make tea, and you try boiling water and microwaving water, and then make the tea with a tea bag, it tastes completely different. All right. Can anybody dance?
Or tell a joke. How about a joke? Jeez. I can never remember a joke.
Telling jokes is kind of a challenge when it's on demand.
Yeah.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, good evening. Hi, this is Harry.
Harry.
Oh, hey, Harry's back.
Harry.
Hey.
Everyone has.
Harry.
We're so happy you're here.
Thank you. I left my phone in the...
Well, Harry's actually at a movie tonight, and yes, she just realized, wait a minute, it's Wednesday.
Wynn is worried about you, Terry.
Yeah, my phone was in the car, so I was looking all over for it, and then when
hey, Terry, Chris is moving in.
You're moving in here?
Yeah.
Don't you hate when you lose your phone?
Qualifications up.
So. And the ringer's turned off, so you can't call it and find out where it is.
is that Terry?
Yes.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Oh, hang on.
Moving in.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Terry lost her phone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to go to Lost Phone University.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, I wish our sources would help us with that, okay? Where is Terry's phone? Okay. Let's start. Okay. All right.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 9th, 2015. Terry and Sedona went in Phoenix, and everybody everywhere, Colleen in British Columbia, who's greeting everybody. Thank you. Colleen, good job. And you know, I was thinking just before the call, I was sitting in Starbucks and I was compiling the questions. And it was one of those days that my pointer on my computer wouldn't stay still. I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience.
Yes.
But it just was jumping all over the place. And it hasn't happened for quite some time. And I was, like, monitoring myself since I came down here to visit Terry Friedman and take him to lunch. And what I realize is that traveling now is different than it used to be for me. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, we're getting a lot of questions, and I thought I'd mention this because this may help some of you. Talking just a little brief discussion about this idea of grounding. If you take the idea that what we do in our invocation to the light is where we bring the light through us and we connect to the high celestial realms, and then we ground to the earth. So it's not a partial hologram we're calling in. It's a complete hologram. Now, that doesn't mean everyone has that experience, but some of you do, and some of you are having more and more of it as you come into these calls. So let's assume that that's real. And let's assume when we call in the light, there actually is an expansion of the hologram from the center of creation through our bodies and into the earth. Well, what happens is you ground yourself in your home and you create kind of a semi-permanent energy to the best of your abilities to hold it in your home and in your city where you know everybody, or you feel, at least you know some people. You know you have a whole routine of stores and places you go to where you're very comfortable with. And as soon as you start moving your body, Dale, you're making noise.
Okay.
As soon as you start moving your body from the area where you're mostly centered, where you what you call your home, immediately you pull up all the grounding that you've had, and suddenly you have to re-ground, and it's like. I get into a zone of this. I used to. And so I kind of understand what I would do if I went to a new city. I go to a coffee shop or a restaurant, and I'd have something to eat or drink, and that would start the grounding process. If I stay in a motel overnight, that starts the grounding process. If there's somebody that I really know that I have a connection with, and I should visit them, that can help the grounding process. But I most definitely have to re-ground. Now, if I take Terry with me on somewhere, it can be slightly easier because she helps the energy of re-grounding. And or I help her, she helps me. So we speed up the process of grounding. And grounding is a critical element in this process of connecting to the higher holograms and creating a consistent projection from your physical location into the higher realms as well as into the earth realms, into the place you are. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of, you know, one of the things about connecting to the higher realms is that it creates phenomena and it feels really good. And what I've observed is oftentimes people, when they have their first phenomena of something, whether it's a synchronicity or a vision or orbs in their bedroom or whatever, it's so amazing, which it is, that it's still not grounded. It's still a phenomena. And then you can get addicted to more phenomena without being grounded. And at this point now, I observe phenomena, and it does always amaze me, but I don't track it. I don't try to make it happen again. I just let it be, observe it, and move on. If sometimes it means something, and sometimes it's just, I don't know how to interpret it. Although, for those of you that are having phenomena, you know, oftentimes we'll ask a question about your phenomena on a Wednesday, and we can find out more. The thing about phenomena is that phenomena may not always be positive, okay? Once you start expanding into interdimensional realms and you have something happen, there's a predisposition to think it's positive. And there is so much negative in the higher realms that it's easy to get tricked and maybe hear some ascended master that's really a dark force that's trying to tie up your energy. So it's very, very tricky, and it's like there's a lot of discernment, and I'm always still learning. We all have to discern for ourselves, because if somebody else discerns for you, What good is it? Because you'll keep having choices, and you won't learn how to make them. I can tell you one thing that I have observed, and some of you have observed this, and I trust this particular phenomenon. That is, if I think about something, and I can feel light and love going to that. You know, Jesus said, I am in the smallest of these, something like that. Well, it means that, what does that mean? I am in the smallest of it means. It means that you are in the smallest of these. We are all in each other at some level. We are in each other energetically. And you can't always experience that, but sometimes you can. And, you know, the way that, let me undo the dings here. The way that occurs is that now I can't find my phone. Terry, we're doing it. I'm being an example of what I talked about. All right. Well,
it's catching.
It's catching. Yeah. So you know, I would imagine that when I leave Sedona, I get ungrounded. Terry gets ungrounded because she's used to me being around, helping her ground. So we have to go through a regrouping kind of phase. So we ground each other. So Terry is losing her phone. I have my cursor jumping around all over the place because
is it still jumping
computer,
around? Is it still jumping around?
No.
There might be somebody with an electrical device in the neighborhood because when I would run the Blavatsky machine, it would make the computers jump.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be. I don't know. But, you know, it happened when I'm sitting in Starbucks. Now I'm outside of Starbucks, you know. I can kind of ground myself in the car, okay? And now some of you, you know, a lot of New Age people can chase this phenomena and the feeling of love light in a space, which is beautiful. And they just get around themselves. And without grounding, it's kind of like your rudder is gone. It's you're in the phenomena, and you go, ooh, ah, but there's no way to steer it. There's no way to move with it. It's just a yin experience. Yin means receptive experience. And that's not wrong. It's better than no experience, probably. But until you...
You're cutting out.
It's like it's. I'm cutting out.
Yeah, but you're okay
I'm
now.
I'm on Skype. Everyone tells. If it gets really bad, let me know, and I'll call in on the phone. Okay. But my people keep telling me my volume on Skype is a lot better. But you know, each of you. I might ask the question tonight about ways people can ground. You know, walking in grass with your shoes off is grounding. Really good sex is grounding. Having money is grounding, okay? Having your house really clean and organized is grounding. Hang on, let me get rid of the dings there, okay? Wait a second.
Having a good, harmonious relationship is very grounding if it's with a partner, and also if you've got a friend that you have a very harmonious relationship with, and you can talk. It's very grounding.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Everyone's got to solve it for themselves. But you can ask yourself the question and experiment as to what grounds you so that you can complete the circuit. Because one of the things that happens, and this happens for wanderers, people that came in from higher dimensions, they can have so much energy running through them from, you know, from their high connections. And if they can't ground it, it starts beating them up. It starts blowing their fuses, and then they can start doing drugs to dissipate the energy. There's an attraction to that because the energy is so high running through them, and they don't know what to do with it. And that high energy is kind of, I believe, what causes things like ADD, attention deficit disorder, or bipolar disorder. It's like this huge energy that's in your body, and you're having a hard time focusing it. And it's a matter, on some level, in my opinion, it's grounding is one aspect that if the person could figure out how to ground their energy, a good relationship is very grounding. Laying on the grass is grounding. I think probably a good relationship is really a good ground. Having a purpose in life, having a mission, a reason to get up every day and do something is grounding. Having a family is grounding. Having beloved friends is grounding. They're not so easy. You can't, those things are things that come as blessings oftentimes, not as you can't make them happen because you want them. But you have to look at what you can make happen out of your willpower and start where you're at. Hug a tree. Walk on the grass, you know. Take a long walk. Do physical exercise. That can be grounding, okay? Do something that takes all that energy that's coming in and redirect it. And, let me see here. Now I got my computer running out of battery. I'm going to have to go back into Starbucks, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to read the questions here. Okay, Terry, you want to comment on any of that from your experience? I mean, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. If a person feels grounded, it makes them feel more secure. It gives them a base from which they can move to get things done in the world and can reach out to the rest of the world. There's a trust that's involved where you get things where you can, like harmonious relationship, you can trust that relationship with another. That's why one of the things that's very unsettling is when they put all over the news about the terrorist attacks. There's some kind of a paradigm where it's some people feel that you got to keep people off center all the time, and then you can they won't get out of control. They'll be under control because they're always kind of half paralyzed trying to work their way through stuff. But the more grounded that you can feel, the more secure in your surroundings.
They have your back. They have your back.
We hear background noise now.
I'm sorry, I'm in Starbucks here.
Yeah.
Hang on.
So, it goes even into the subtle realms that you don't even think about. For instance, if somebody is in the Great Lakes, then they get used to orienting themselves to that location, GPS. You get used to a location, so then you go to another location, say the Pacific Northwest, and you might feel ungrounded and not even know why, because you've let the grounding, you aren't grounding the same way. All of the mass, the mountains, all gravity is affecting you slightly differently. But you don't realize it because it's at a subconscious level. And so you might feel more uneasy when you first get there until you get your bearings. So a lot of times when people get jet lag and things like that, it's like they've been moving coordinates really fast, and they need to get their bearings and get grounded and oriented when they get to the new place. Are you there, Wynn?
I'm here.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to have to do this sitting in Starbucks. And I'll mute my phone after I ask the question, because I just threw a bunch of people out of my chair, and I was going to do it in the car, but my computer isn't holding a charge. So,
do you have a charge cord in your computer and in your car?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I should. But usually it holds a charge. Now it's not. So all the questions are on the computer. So I'm just going to focus here and bring in the energy. And I hope I don't distract you. Here we go.
I'm
on?
Go ahead.
Hang on a second. I'm just getting any last minute questions.
My daughter is going to be hopefully.
Nope, we're okay. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person. Any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of life and transmuted to the highest good of all consent. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxy, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of high earth, through our bodies, into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection for all those who would like to participate in it, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those forces that are positive, service others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protective space where only the positive have access to it. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I just want to connect this energy to the Starbucks coming that employs the protective energy and the people in it. And I don't usually do this in a public space, but I'm just working around. So what to do. So for our associate president.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you and move into the third density. When we find at this period of time, it is a difficult period of time for some people. Some people and the relatives may have had difficulties, and then they get together, and it's the season of love and harmony and getting together, but yet written on the consciousness of those people that have had difficulties, they're still trying to, in their mind, resolve the difficulties, and it, things can flare up at this period of time. So it is best to listen, to sit back, and to move into a higher space and simply listen. We see that, give us a minute because our phone is ringing. We are ready for questions. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Eric in Santa Fe. And on Monday, or I think it was Monday,
Eric, who?
Eric Sosio in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yes.
Regular participant in our calls. And it sounds like you listened to the call I did on manifestation, where I was talking about the nature of a human being able to project their intention and their thought form into other realms to increase the ability to manifest. And particularly to connect with other people and the higher positive new souls to help their manifestation. So Eric asks, can you elaborate on how one would be best able to accelerate the chin in order to manifest intention and co-create with Ra, and probably co-create with Elohim as well, if there's a difference. So I added that. I know joy and laughter is one way. However, could you give a couple of other examples? Many blessings, and thank you for the work you do. And, you know, this is Jim coming. And the one comment I make is learn how to move into the sacred. Move into, you know, we can have fun and laughter, and then underneath it is oftentimes a lot of suffering. And it's like, to work with people's suffering, you have to go very deep. This is me talking. In order to reach to the level in their consciousness prior to the suffering. And so, sacredness is one way to do that. What do I mean by sacredness? Going into the stillness inside of yourself. Recognize the importance of what you're doing and the importance to do it in a way that people take it seriously. In any case, let me turn over to you. I'll mute my phone so you don't hear all the background noise here. Starbucks. Okay. Oh, wait a second. Okay, is that better? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, I had my microphone up to my ears. I'll just reread the question. Can you elaborate on how one would be best able to accelerate spin in order to manifest intention and co-create with Ra? And I added, and the Elohim. I know joy and laughter is one way. However, could you give a couple of other examples? Many blessings, and thank you for the work. And I added the example of sacredness, of intention, of going beneath the surface of a situation, going to the area prior to it, the way it manifests in people. And that is one way that I have learned works with suffering, either my own or the suffering of others. But I'm sure we have some good tips here from our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. We make one comment concerning laughter. If you take a look at the root under a joke, the laughter is something, a release of tension. It is usually a subject where one has difficulty. And so when one experiences the release through laughter of the looking at a situation that is less than optimal, then it can bring laughter and release of tension. To manifest, there are a number of things one can look at in manifestation. One of them is sexual energy. Sexual energy can give great creativity when one brings the sexual energy into creativity. It gives a lot of energy to back up what one is manifesting, and a lot of bringing joy, a lot of joy and ability to connect. As we look at that, we see that this is something that within yourself you can develop, how to manifest within your own self. If your intention is very strong, then you can have a better ability to manifest. To get on the frequency of what it is you wish to manifest can help. And the Ra group can then back up and create synchronicities in what you are putting out there. If you are putting out there a mixed intention, then it becomes self-defeating. If you can project from your own self a vortex of what it is you wish to manifest, you manifest the vortex of energy, and then on that vortex you put the intention of what it is that you wish to bring about. And this can be directed, it can be directed toward the thing that you are wishing to manifest, the project you are wishing to bring into existence. Your energy, as you sit and look at your project, is directed then from you to your project. This energy is something that then you can put into the creative project you are making. Money carries with it a latent energy because it gives you possibilities. And the energy of the money can grow and bring more energy and attract more money. If you are always running on dry, then it is harder to accumulate money because you're always depleting that energy. The Ra group, us, are listening and watching and seeing what it is with even curiosity as to what you are manifesting. A good relationship with the clients, a harmonious, joyous relationship, particularly at this season of year, with people coming in and you are working with those people. They have a certain energy at this time of year that is fueled by the spirit of giving and the spirit of joy and the spirit of anticipation of getting a gift. Those are some of our comments.
Thank you. You know, you were talking about sex as a way of increasing your energy. I want to like to ask a couple of clarification questions. You know, in metaphysical studies, the second chakra, which is the sexual chakra, is supposed interpreted as both sex and creativity, both. Now, sometimes people talk about the idea of sublimating or converting their sexual energy into creative energy, and other people talk about the sexual exchange as a way of activating yourself to increase your intentions, and other people talk about self-service as a way of balancing yourself in that area. Could you comment on this?
Yes. Those are all actions. Those are all actions of which you are expressing your sexual energy. Before the expression, there is the buildup of sexual energy within the body that is then seeking expression, of which you do through the sexual act, or in which you might do through creativity. You taking that sexual energy and expressing it and putting it, that energy, into a creative project you're working on, or even a relationship that you're working on, like using it to help balance yourself as you are speaking to a group of people. There is a definite energy there before the expression that can be expressed in more than one way, and to use that as fuel for a creative outlet is very satisfying and exciting.
Thank you. Next question here is from Aaron in Plymouth, Wisconsin. And
what is the
I'm
name?
Putting Aaron.
Aaron. Aaron. Okay.
And, you know, I don't like particularly asking questions about UFOs and ET contacts, because oftentimes, this has happened in the past, if I ask that question, and many of these situations involve negative sources, I do not want, you know, it's happened just by asking the question, we've kind of invoked the negative source. So I'd like our sources to pay attention to that, and if they feel anything possible in this question, that we would pass on it, okay? So Aaron had this experience where beings that he could see were in the cockpit piloting a silent black triangle in the 1990s. It was flying towards us. There were two people, him and another person, and slowed to a hover. Responding to my voice, it shut its bottom red lights off. Without rustling a tree trunk, responding to his voice, it shut its red lights off. And without rustling a treetop leaf, flew off at an amazing speed. It was only 150 feet above us along Lake Michigan shoreline in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. I was a trained observer in the infantry at the time, and low-flying aircraft should make noise and create a wind. Why could I see this craft and my friend could not? Were we abducted? What race were they? And did they come? Where did they come from? And why were they watching me? Thank you.
Thank you. We have answered that question partially in the last question-answer period. The answer we gave before was that you were standing near somebody and seeing it from a different angle, and also your vibrations were more sending and receiving from you, and you were able to cut into their frequency, the frequency of the triangular craft. The triangular craft operates on a higher, somewhat between density realms, and so in response to your voice, it picks up all stimulus from everything around and was definitely responding to your vibration, and you were getting through, connecting with it. They do not like interference. Thought interference, voice interference from someone that is able to project and to receive as you are, because they have their own operation of controls of the craft that they do by conjunction of their own thoughts with the materials and the molecules that make up the craft. Who are they? They are a within the subset of the government is a section which we do not like to speak of too much. They do not like themselves spoken of too much. Who have gotten hold of alien technology and have transmuted it and brought it to reverse engineered it to be able to build craft and to, in conjunction with information from other races, other alien races, have reverse engineered and able to build this. It's not everybody that can operate these craft, as it takes moving with the craft in a energy that runs the craft by thought, so it can get the impulse very fast. It is a whole different technology. We laud you on being able to sense the things that you sensed there.
Thank you. So we definitely could say, at least, that this was not a service to other craft.
We did not look at that aspect, whether it was service to other or service to self. The general category is service to self, and a separateness from the general populist idea of the state of the art of technology. It is beyond that, and it is kept disclosed, so one does not, they do not want to overwhelm the public, and they want to keep the superiority of the technology for their own purposes, which can be service to self. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's just move on, okay? Next question is from, let me see here.
This is from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. And he had previously sent me a thing, an email, where he's talking about a quote from The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, how much he enjoyed the book. So that's why I put a little link on today's email about the book, which I highly recommend. It's really not about Edgar Cayce. It's only, I mean, it makes the case very well. It tells lots of stories in Egypt, but the real story is the Ra group and their wisdom and what goes on with them. Usually on Wednesday night, we can go a little late on BBS. Since we started late, I am going to continue, and I hope we don't get cut off. Also, I want to mention that this number is going to change next week. So watch your emails or call back, and they give the new name number. It'll be the same access code, but a different number. That's for the Monday call. Will probably be the old number, but then the Monday and Wednesday call, the number is going to change starting next Wednesday. Okay? So now...
You said the Sunday call will be the same?
As far as I know. I have no notice that the number on Sunday is going to close. Okay? So, so I'm
going
to...
No, I broke out of the channeling, so I'm going back.
I'm sorry.
Now.
Okay, okay. So Jim was quoting from the book, with the voluminous content you needed to consider, you maintained a very consistent focus. I found the spiritual aspects very uplifting and helpful. Funny how things work out, but I think I got much more out of it having not read it until now, after having already become familiar with the different pieces of content. In describing your book to others, I will be strongly and highly recommending it. Only I will suggest they should consider the title to be more accurate. And he gave a different title here. And then he talks about the idea of random catalyst, which was something that was in the book. And the quote was, "The fact of the matter is that the majority of souls who are actively working their spiritual path at this time and place have long since moved past the point of what we would call random catalyst, where things occur in one's life that are of a difficult nature but are not precisely planned and calibrated in advance of their learning potential." And what that's saying, that, that the things that are happening into your life, the people that show up in your life, show up because they're there to teach you something, or you're there to learn something, or they're going to reflect back to you a part of yourself that is going to be something that needs to be worked on, or it could be somebody that comes in that's a very highly creative in your life. It's not, you know, some relationships work out negative reflections and others come in to work out positive co-creations. So Jim's question is, are Gina and I together to help each other? By higher choice, I believe in my heart of hearts that we shall accomplish a healing and thus removing and moving beyond current blockages. I intuitively realize the possibility these blockages are being perceived and acted upon as a feeling of being trapped, but may be actually rooted in something very different at its original source. That's what I was trying to express in my question. Did you understand this question?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
We do. We look at this and we see that the traps are of each of your own making. And the goal, the learning experience here can be how to coordinate with each other, harmonize with each other, and to get by the traps and to work on it so that the other one doesn't feel rejected, but to give a lot of love and support to the other one, but yet protecting one's own sanctity so one doesn't feel trapped by the expectations of the other, and one can talk about one's own needs and one's own need to do certain things in the day, to read, to do the things that they feel that are necessary for them to do for their own growth and their own job and their own progress without getting that and letting the other person know that they are indeed loved, and that if you tell them even in advance, now is the time that I'm working on these things I need to be worked on of my own, and I love you very much, and to bring flowers perhaps. If you make the other person feel loved, but yet protect your own needs and your own outlet for your own growth, it is a learning that will stay with you lifetime after lifetime, because it is a very basic thing that one can learn in the relationships with others. Communication is very basic to this, to let the other person know how you feel and to accept it when they let you know how they feel. So if they're being too possessive, then to give them love, but yet to protect your own right. It is a two-push balance to learn, a very good skill to learn. We hope that that helps a little.
Thank you. You know, one of the things I have learned in this particular aspect is become aware of your own patterns. And maybe the other person, you can have a discussion where they can be aware of their patterns. Because all of us go through cycles, and relationships go through cycles. And there are cycles when things are all copacetic, and there are cycles when things are not so copacetic. There are days that you feel really great and uplifted, and there are days when you feel contracted. And if you can observe your own cycles, and you can talk to your partner and communicate to them, this is one of those days because that I feel contracted. Because often, usually the world responds to you according to the cycle you're in. And so when you're contracted, everyone else around you responds to your contraction. And, you know, they'll say, oh, you're looking good today, or you don't look good today, or sometimes they're all angry with you because inside your contraction is anger. And if you can have a partner where you can honestly communicate your level of contraction to, then your partner can forgive it because you're projecting it on them and they're going to feel it. But it gives them the opportunity to go beyond your projection and look inside you, which helps move the energy way quicker through the contraction. When somebody else responds to your contraction, or you respond to their contraction energetically, it tends to hold the energy in the contracted space, and it becomes harder to move it. And if you're in that situation, sometimes it's better to say, I'll be leaving for the day. I'll be back at the end of the day. I got to work this through. If you can't get your partner to help you work it through, and they still may not be able to help work it through, you still may have to get out of the circumstance so the energy shifts. That's my experience. I'll just give our sources a chance to say something about that.
Yes. It is a very good opportunity to fine-tune your skills at relationship and to learn more about how to build a good, solid, harmonious relationship.
Thank you. Okay, we're at 8:06. I'm going to fit in one more question here, and I think I'm going to do Michael ask the question. Michael in Escondido. And Cleo, I'm putting yours off till next week if you want to ask it again. Michael's question is, in spiritual work, I haven't found it yet, but I remember it. In spiritual work, people go through this idea that there's these five elements of a human body, and it's usually called physical, astral, causal, ethereal, and soul. Okay? And assuming that that's accurate, it probably is. Here it is. We in Earth bodies have several overlapping layers of subtle anatomy: emotional, etheric, mental, spiritual, celestial, etc. Do our sources have similar corresponding energetic bodies? And if so, what, how are they used? Thank you, Michael and Escondido.
Thank you. We are tickled by your question. We can be pure soul essence. We can also merge with astral essence. We can also merge with physical essence. Physical and astral can merge. Emotional can affect all and run through all of any combination. Because we are not connected permanently or really in a solid way with physical or even astral, we have more ability to shimmer, to move in and out of emotion, because we do not have the holding pattern of the astral and the physical, because in the physical you have molecules, you have consciousness within the molecules, within the cells, and they hold the emotion. So one, it's a complex being, and you need to become, in order to become a master of this, need to be able to let it go and understand that it is not you that is holding down the emotion. It is the combination of all of your subtle bodies that are holding down the emotion and making it a little hard to change. It is a great study in how to induce cooperation and to be able to master life with all the subtle bodies. Thank you.
Thank you. Like a question on that, would it be as if you are constantly reinventing yourself into where you're called and where your expansion into would be of value? In other words, you can move into the astral, whatever, the emotional, the whatever level that is where you would make a contribution to evolution in the universe. Is that a way of looking at it?
Yes, but we are not contained by each of those levels. We are able to move in and out and yet maintain our own ability to change from a standpoint of love. We are able to maintain our own center and yet to experience what the subtle bodies that we are moving, connecting with, are experiencing, and we can then see more information outside of their small look at what they're experiencing. We can look around outside because we do not get stuck in any of those subtle body things, the emotions. We do not take the fixed position, and as such, we are wanderers extraordinaire.
So you're in a constant state of you're coming from a center point, but the outer points are in constant state of recreation. Yes?
As we connect with them. As we connect with them.
As you connect with them, yeah.
We see what is there to connect with.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you all for being patient with our rough beginning this evening. And, you know, everything we do is really a process of learning. You know, we talked about grounding at the beginning. Just doing a call is grounding for us, for me, and I think for Terry as well. It's like just to bring the energy in. We can't help but connect with the earth when we do it during a call. And so the calls are just as important for us as they are for you. And on that note, do we have any comments, closing comments from our sources?
Thank you. We take a moment and we look over the Pacific Ocean, and we look over New Guinea, and we look over Japan, and we look over Nepal, and we look to Greece, and we look over the Pacific Northwest, and we see the changes of energy in the Earth as the Earth seeks to readjust to former movements, and we send, give, impart love light to these areas that they may release any energies in multiple earthquakes of smaller nature rather than larger. Of course, it is a free will choice. It is when these areas are affected by other energies pushing on them from other parts of the plates, then it is there is a necessity to respond to those energies that are pushing on them. We recognize that, but we do send love light to the difficult energies within the tectonic plates right now.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And we will see you Sunday. And thank you, sources. Thank you, Terry. And let me unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, we're unmuted. Over and out.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great
night. Good night, everyone.
Love and light to everyone.
Thank you, Philly.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome. Good night.